Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 14 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. My name is Anthony Evangelista. I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
Wonderful. Just an incredible, incredible week of Yankees baseball. Going back to the ALDS, so that's great. And alongside us, once again, second episode in a row, resident Yankees fan, Austin Platt. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm great. Sunday night, night before, everything's all good. Weekend without baseball kind of stunk, but hey, Yankees did the job. Let's go Rays. Here we go, baby. Here it comes.
I mean, we could relax a little bit. We were relaxed the last few days.
I'm happy for you guys.
After an incredible two wins, got it done in two. And when I said, I listened back to our episode today, I said I'd feel comfortable if the series went three. I was so wrong, because if we lost on Wednesday night, we would have been so screwed. Oh, my gosh. It would have been so bad. But let's just dive right into it. Game one, Shane Bieber versus Gerrit Cole. Wasn't really the pitching matchup we thought it would be, actually.
Not at all. Not in the slightest.
So you can ask any of my friends who I watched the game with. But to start it off, obviously, we know how it started off. But I said to my friend Connor, I said, DJ is going to get a base hit to right, and Judge is going to homer to dead center. Now, I got about 4/5 of that correct, because DJ lined a base hit to right, single, after working a 2-0 count. And then first pitch, Aaron Judge saw, boom, right center field and gone. 2-0 Yankees. And Platt, what were you thinking in this moment? 2-0 Yankees right away.
I literally had just gotten home from something. I thought I would miss the first couple of pitches. I got home, got a bowl of pasta, literally sat down. Literally, I put the pasta down. The first pitch I see is Judge. I'm like, no way, that's out of here. I'm like, let's go. Playoff Judge is back. And I said it, Shane Bieber's first playoff start. There could be a little bit of nerves. And when LeMahieu gets on base, he got a little bit of a favorable call. And I was like, okay, here we go. Oh, Gerrit Cole hasn't even thrown a pitch. And the Yankees are up 2-0. That was nothing more you could ask for.
I mean, that's the recipe for success right there. Hopefully it happens again tomorrow. Get Gerrit Cole a lead before he even throws a pitch. I mean, you can't really draw it up any better. The game plan for the Yankees on Tuesday night was perfect. They worked the count, but that didn't restrain them from attacking on first pitches, because they were sitting fastball on that first pitch. I think Gardner got a hold of one. Judge's home run, obviously, on the first pitch fastball. There's definitely a few other times that I'm just blanking on right now, but they put up 7 runs in 4 2/3 on Shane Bieber. Of all the scenarios I was running through in my head before that game, I was like, okay, they're like, I think hopefully we'll get a 2-0 win, a 2-1, a 3-1 kind of win. But they just went off completely. Yeah. The offense just erupted.
That strong start kind of set the tone for the rest of the game, because they scored the two in the first half inning, and then all of a sudden the momentum shifted. Like, I felt like throughout that entire game, that was the Yankees' game to lose.
Oh, yeah.
I think that from the very beginning, from that first half inning, that the Yankees were in control. They had the upper hand, and they completely capitalized.
Uh-huh, completely. And they didn't let up, obviously. They ended up putting up 7 on Bieber, as I mentioned. We'll just keep recapping the game real quick. Obviously, Voit got that RBI double. Gardner got that RBI double. And then DJ had a single. In between that, I think Gerrit Cole gave up RBI double to Ramirez, correct, Platt?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And so it's 5-1. And then Josh Naylor, that guy killed us.
Jesus.
Oh, God. Just an incredible showing for him. But whatever, it doesn't matter. He's golfing right now. That's what matters. He homered. But then Gleyber Torres, and this is a big factor, I think, in this series. Gleyber Torres was phenomenal. The guy, I think he got on base like 8 out of 10 times in the series, working walks, getting even a little bit of luck with some infield hits. But that 2-run home run to left center, that really was when you saw the click and the shift, and Gleyber Torres is back.
That's where we needed. I mean, there was someone who stunk during the year. There was plenty of guys who stunk or were injured, something like that. Someone needed to turn it on. You couldn't rely on LeMahieu and a little bit of Judge and Voit and Urshela. We needed someone, and with the lineup so deep, Gleyber was that guy, and boy, that was so huge for him.
Yeah, huge, huge hit for Gleyber Torres there, and he continued it all the way through the series, and we'll get into more game two. We'll have that pretty in-depth, but just really, really encouraging to see guys like Gleyber Torres, Gary Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton doing their jobs when you needed them, because we really touched upon how inconsistent this offense has been, and hopefully it doesn't follow that trend heading into the second series. But they all just clicked. They scored 22 runs in two games against the best ERA-wise pitching staff in baseball, and that's really encouraging no matter who you're going up against. So just to finish out game one, Stanton got a garbage time homer, which was, I think that was his click. Gardner homered, which is, that's good to see. Although I think Clint Frazier definitely had a better year than him. I'm happy to see Brett Gardner playing a big role for the Yankees here in the playoffs. He's a veteran presence. He's a lefty bat. And if he keeps hitting, he's going to keep getting at bats. And I think that's important. To have a guy like that in the lineup that just grinds out a bat. It's vintage Brett Gardner is what we saw, which was really encouraging. So
that's what we need. I mean, Clint Frazier was up there once for game two and struck out on three pitches. And Gardner, all he has to do is just protect the play. He's going to be at the bottom of the order. He's got to set it up for DJ. And he had some good at-bats in this series. And, hey, you really got to keep him in the lineup here in Boone. As much as Clint Frazier you may love, given the year he's had, you got to keep Gardner in the lineup until something goes wrong.
I agree. I mean, hopefully this doesn't damage Clint's ego is the wrong word. Hopefully this doesn't just have him in the down in the dumps for the whole rest of the postseason, because he's definitely going to have a role as well if the Yankees want to keep pushing this further and further. But really encouraging to see Brett Gardner having good at bats. Like, I can't really think of a guy in the nine guys, ten if you count Higashioka, that really had like a bad job. You know what I mean? Kyle Higashioka got a base hit. 1-for-5, if he does that every time he starts Gerrit Cole, if he gets a hit every time, like, I'm not going to complain. He's meant to be at the bottom of the order. Gary Sanchez obviously did his job. We're going to talk more about game two, but let's talk about Gerrit Cole for a little bit before we go to game two. Just, he had his, I don't think he had his A stuff, but it was really good. Like, B plus, 13 strikeouts, 2 runs, no walks, 7 innings. If he does that every time, like, if he can get us 7 innings every time, I feel really good. I feel really good about Gerrit Cole. Do you want to touch on Gerrit Cole a bit, Platt? What are your thoughts?
I mean, this game reminded me so much of the opening day against the Nationals. You know, Cole going against their best pitcher. Yankees get off to an early start with a big home run, and then, you know, Cole gave up a runner or two, and then he just straight up dominated. It's not easy for a guy to go out there with a 2-0 lead. And with a lead like that, when your offense, you know, hanging runs on the best pitcher in all of baseball this year, it's not easy for a guy to go out and just think, oh, it's a really close game. I have to pitch really, really well. And Gerrit Cole is certainly that guy who's, you know, who can get up there in a pitch count as well. He can put himself in bad situations. But, hey, 7 innings, he held on to the bullpen. Bullpen didn't use any of the big guys. Sessa ate up 2 innings, gave up 1 run. So that's all you needed. Aaron Boone did a great job in game one. A couple questionable things in game two we'll get to. But, hey, when your ace goes 7 innings, 105 pitches, you know, the bulldog mentality, he wanted every pitch. And, hey, 7 innings is what you need. And he's going to need that tomorrow night.
He was exactly what they needed. And I don't want to make any excuses for him, but I feel like if that's like maybe like a 3-1 game, 3-2 game, he's a little bit more locked in. But regardless of the fact that he was pitching with a huge lead, he didn't let up. He kept his foot on the gas pedal all the way through, looked really good. Other than in the third inning, he didn't really let himself into any trouble. And now we all know Gerrit Cole's had his home run struggles the last few years. That's no surprise. Like, we're not going to be – if he's given up one solo home run per game, I think we're okay. But because it's just the obligatory Gerrit Cole solo home run. You know what I mean? Like, we're just used to that. And hopefully he can limit that. We don't want to see guys like G-Man Choi and like Brissot just like knocking it all over the park on him tomorrow night. But I feel really good about his start despite the home run. The 0 walks is awesome. It means he has control right now. The 13 strikeouts means he's dominant. So I felt really good about Gerrit Cole. And for the offense wise, everyone pitched in. Everyone had a hit. Everyone got on base. A lot of them had RBIs. 6 out of the 9 guys in the lineup got home runs in this series in 2 games against a really good pitching staff. And the Rays also have a really good pitching staff. So, I mean, guys like Gardner hitting home runs, guys like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's good to be there, that they're clicking all the way through the order. And I think the focus seems like it's there because they were locked in. You know what I mean? But any more thoughts on game one before we talk about game two, Platt?
everything you needed and expected and more. Literally, I couldn't – if you told me they give up seven runs, that Shane Bieber would give up seven runs, Giancarlo Stanton would go yard in another, you know, garbage time home run, which I feel like he always does in game ones. If you told me everyone got a hit, except for Hicks, who's walked twice and scored twice.
But Hicks did what we want. He got a hit. He got that. Oh, yeah, game one still. Yeah. Or never mind. Keep going.
Nah, but I mean, like, that's all you want. Everyone got on base. Everyone practically scored a run. Higashioka, you know, didn't go 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. Everything you wanted and more. You save all the big guys. You think, okay, here we are. This is what we needed. The Yankees needed to win game one here. I didn't see a reason that if they lost game one, they win the series. I just couldn't trust anyone in game three. And I'm pretty sure I said that I thought the Indians would win in three and the Yankees would still win game one. So it's what we needed. It was a must-win game. It was everything you wanted and more. Great confidence going into game two.
I gotta completely agree with Platt there. Like, the fact that they won that game by such a wide margin, I think that definitely, like, I know I said that before, but it set the tone for game two, like, going into Wednesday morning. Because, like, you could tell Wednesday night that this team was very nervous, Cleveland. Like, this team was, I mean, obviously you're playing from behind, there's a lot more pressure. It's going to be different than if you're up, but I just think that game one was very, very crucial for the fact that the Yankees won game two.
You're totally right there, Ant. Like, winning that game by such a large margin, as you mentioned, did miles for their confidence. Because I say if you flip the script, like, if the Yankees win game one close, it's hard to win two close games in a row in a playoff series. It's really difficult. And they won a close game Wednesday, but winning that game by 9 runs and putting up the numbers they did against Shane Bieber, hopefully that just sets the tone for the whole next 3 weeks. Because he just fantastic job by the Yankees offense and another really great job by Gerrit Cole to lock it down and be the ace that we paid him for. We paid him to pitch in October. Luke Voit said it today, and that is incredibly true. So let's shift to game two. And what a mess of a baseball game for so many reasons. So we'll start off with the rain delay. The first rain delay, by the way, the one that didn't really make any sense. The game was originally scheduled to start at, I believe, 7:05 or something like that, and they pushed it back to 7:50, and it didn't rain a single bit, which is fine. Like, that's precautionary. Like, okay, fine. If we're in the clear, that's fine. And then Cookie Carrasco comes out. He shuts the Yankees down 1-2-3, and Masahiro Tanaka comes out pitching in a monsoon with 25-mile-an-hour winds. And I'm thinking to myself, this is really weird. Like, Boone, pull them off the field. Umpires, do your jobs. Like, this is ridiculous. I don't understand why Carrasco gets to pitch in, like, somewhat normal conditions, albeit the wind. But Tanaka's pitching in a monsoon, and the wind picks up, and his breaking stuff just isn't breaking. And he gets Lindor to ground out, but then I think Cesar Hernandez got a double, Ramirez double. Boom, it's 1-0, and now they pull him off the field. Now Tanaka's whole routine is messed up. He has to go sit for 30 minutes, and it's just a giant mess on MLB's part.
This was a disaster. I mean, the fact that the first rain delay, okay, maybe it passes, and then just why even start the game? What just starts raining one bit? Just think, okay, just admit you screwed up and just keep delaying the game. Because now, of course, they knew – MLB knew, the umpires knew that they screwed up and that they had to take the guys off the field once the Indians scored. And then you throw off Tanaka. You don't know how long this rain delay is going to go. There are rumors that this game wouldn't start for another 2 hours or so. Thank God it didn't, because then we'd be up for another ridiculous hour. But it just a disaster. I'm glad Tanaka stayed in there and really fought, because that's not an easy scenario to be a part of. And the same goes for Carrasco, because he was sitting around for at least an hour, over an hour probably, given that the fact they scored after that. The real rain delay. So good for Tanaka that he got out of it and got to pitch a couple more quality innings of baseball, but a real disaster. And boy, the MLB and Manfred's glad they didn't have to get, you know, the Yankees fans complaining that they lost game two because of the rain.
I mean, I was complaining for a long time. And then obviously Tanaka comes back out and gives up 3 more runs in the fourth. The field is still soaking wet. Glaber had a bit of a misplay. Josh Naylor continued to kill us. And now after one inning, it's 4-0 Cleveland. And I'm already, because I'm a pessimistic little, like, I'm a baby. You know what I mean? Like, I turn into a child during these games. And I'm thinking, all right, game three. Just try to not use the big guys today. Maybe get them some work, but don't do anything stupid. J-Hap, Devin Garcia. That was my mindset immediately. And then this cannot be understated, the importance of Giancarlo Stanton's home run in the second inning. Because if the Yankees go down 1-2-3 again and Carrasco gets in a rhythm, I think the game goes completely different ways. I think the Yankees, we see like the August, September Yankees where they kind of just roll over and go to bed and think like, all right, we got our stuff pushed in tonight and we got to come back. New mentality, flip the page tomorrow. But Giancarlo Stanton with an absolute piss missile into the right field bleachers. Awesome to see him going the other way, because that's how you know he's seeing the ball well, is when he can use all parts of the field. Absolute bomb, 4-1.
That was huge. And you're absolutely right. Stanton, obviously, the momentum from, you know, the at-bat before in game one where he hit that garbage time home run, comes back. They worked that pitch count in that second inning because we were unsure if Tanaka would come back out after the rain delay because, you know, obviously he's given up runs, didn't look all that great. The same would be said for Carrasco. They had the lead. He thought maybe they go to a bullpen and they didn't use up too many of their, you know, eat-up guys in game one, even though Bieber got rocked. It was still – perfect scenario for the Yankees. You get that run. You work the count on Carrasco. They were right back in this game. I knew they could get to Carrasco. They had success against him in 2017. It was huge, that Stanton home run. You know, Torres walking that inning as well. They worked it. I knew this team would be right back in it as long as Tanaka got the first out of the next inning, because I knew if you can – it was good on Aaron Boone in this scenario. I don't know why he didn't warm anyone up quicker, because it could have gone really, really bad, as you mentioned. But I'm glad he left Tanaka in, got those outs, because it's a low risk, high reward scenario where you leave Tanaka in. If he gives up a hit, then you pull him because you knew he didn't have his stuff. But the high reward was what happened. He pitched really, really well. He ate some really, really big innings for this team, which pretty much saved them. There were plenty of guys that saved the Yankees in game two. Mm-hmm. Tanaka was honestly one of them. It was so big. Clutch from Aaron Boone, clutch from Stanton, clutch from the Yankees offense to not give up.
Tanaka's performance cannot be understated. Him eating up those three plus more innings was big. But this is we're getting to a big point in the game here now. Aaron Hicks with a triple on a misplay. That is huge. I tweeted immediately, take advantage. You cannot roll. You have to get at least two runs in this inning. And then I think Voit walked and Stanton walked. And that brings up former Cleveland Indian and one of our new favorite players, Gio Urshela. I don't even know what that guy's real name is. The guy that Gio homered off of,
Karen Jack.
Karen. Let's just call him Wild Thing. Let's just call him Charlie Sheen, Rick Vaughn, whatever you want to call him. Comes in, he's all antsy. He's got a nasty curve. Throws it twice. Gio just absolutely spit on those pitches. Gets to a 3-2 count. Fastball low in the zone. Actually a pretty good pitch. Gio Urshela takes it like 450 to the left field bleachers. An absolute bomb. You knew it was gone right off the bat, and the Yankees have their first lead. That is a huge, huge home run for so many reasons, because you get the bases loaded and no one out. You need to score regardless. You need to score multiple runs in that inning, and they got four, and they took the lead on a great at-bat by Gio Urshela.
That was unbelievable. The fact that the best arm, and Karen Jack, you know, whatever you want to call him, Wild Things, was very good. He was by far their best reliever this year. They come in this early in the game, in the fourth inning, and the fact that he's on, you know, bases loaded, no out. They get a little bit of a gift, the Yankees do. They have a couple, you know, BS hits, an infield hit, this, that, and the other thing. They got set up perfectly. I knew the very first pitch that he threw was a fastball in the heart of the zone upstairs, and Urshela was on it, and he fouled it off.
He missed that pitch. That was the one that he fouled off to right, the first base side. Yeah, he timed it right there, yeah.
And so, he was on it. I knew, okay, he's in this at-bat, and this is the guy I want. And then the low pitch. By the way, Tom Payne, the umpire, was completely clueless this entire game.
It was a terrible night, but he was bad when we played the Marlins a few weeks back, too. Like, just a really bad guy to pick to be a home plate umpire during a big elimination playoff game.
Because one of those curveballs was a strike in the ESPN zone, and the catcher didn't think it was a strike and just let it fall to the ground. And that could have been, I believe that was strike three. I believe that was a 1-2 count.
Something like that. Yeah.
And that could have been huge, but luckily he stayed in it, took that fastball, because you knew he was throwing a fastball, because, you know, Wild Things was just as wild. He was, you know, crazy. Definitely his stress level was way too high, and he was, you know, chucking the ball up in the air, you know, just trying to feel himself out because he was nervous, breathing very heavily, and you knew he had to throw a fastball because the other two curveballs, Urshela wasn't biting on him, and the fastball right in the heart of the zone. Good pitch, very good pitch on the inside corner. Urshela took it the other way and basically said, F you, Indians, this is what you get for DFAing me.
Yeah, I mean, he was waiting on a fastball. It was pretty evident that he was waiting to get that fastball again after the 1-2 and 2-2 curveballs, because Karinchak was probably thinking, man, I can't walk this guy in because Gleyber Torres is hot and he's on deck. So really great approach by Gio there. This is what I'm saying. They had really good at-bats. Even the guys that got out had really good at-bats. So big grand slam by Gio. And then in the next inning, add a little bit of insurance. Stanton got a sac fly that he just missed on. Would have been a three-run home run to make it 8-4. We get a run in the top of the fifth, and then we get to the bottom six, and this is where Tanaka kind of faltered a little bit. He got the first two guys on, and then Chad Green allowed a two-run triple to tie the game at six with nobody out.
Yeah, I mean, this is where, you know, it was a lose-lose scenario, basically. Tanaka was, you know, starting to lose it. Obviously, you know, he ate up those innings, and you knew that you kind of had to pull him, and they give up two runs, and give up two guys on immediately, and then, you know, their best hitter comes up against Chad Green in the bullpen, which is just frustrated me so much, and they blow it, and the game is tied, and Jose Ramirez just unbelievable.
He had a great week. He was their best hitter going in, and we knew that, and I did say, I was like, if the Yankees can get him out, they'll be fine, and they didn't really get him out a lot, and he had some big hits, and he had a few RBIs. That obviously being one of them. I think he had four RBIs, maybe five in the whole series. But, but Chad Green did a really good job there, actually. And then he got two strikeouts and then Naylor popping up to get out of that. It's huge that he kept it tied, because in the top of the sixth, Gary Sanchez on a fly ball that I thought was a pop-up. And I said, oh, my God, Gary, why are you swinging at the first pitch? You could pop up the first pitch. Sure enough, the wind carried it out into the right field seats. Huge home run for Gary, huge home run for the Yankees. Now they have a two-run lead here in the sixth, late in the game, in an elimination game.
Oh, man, that was just music to my ears. The guy who struggled so much, the guy who's definitely number one on the Yankees hate list that you can hate so much. So many, you know, signed JT Realmuto. I've been thinking that was – I mean, I thought it was a pop-up too. I'm like, great, Gary, another great at-bat from you, kiddo. And I'm like, no way, it's still going, it was out of here. That was so big. Green getting out of that, honestly, in the bottom of the fifth. I mean, this game went by so slowly. It was the bottom of the fifth. It felt like the game should have been over already. But, you know, runner on third with nobody out. He strikes out two guys and gets their best hitter who's beaten us this whole series to pop out. It's so big. And then you get Gary with the home run. Gardner with the walk. He's so good at the plate. That's all you need to do from Gardner. Just don't strike out. Put you know, make the guys work. Give him the pitch count, increase the pitch count. So big.
Yep. And then this is where we kind of get into some trouble. Zach Britton, he was okay. Like, I would like to see his pitch count. I'd like to see his control be a little better. He got out of the sixth with a huge double play from Frankie Lindor. But then this is kind of when it got bad. Bottom seven, he got the first two outs really quickly. I was thinking, all right, that's great. Britton's going to get us through the seventh. Maybe Chapman will get the six out save. And I'd feel good about that to that point with the Yankees up two. And walks two guys. I think it was Santana and Reyes. And Jordan Luplo pinch hits for Josh Naylor, which I was shocked about. And they bring in Johnny Lasagna to counteract that. Now, I would have stuck with Britton there. I'd rather have Britton against a righty than Lasagna again with the go-ahead run-up. I'd rather tend on the experience. Britton's gotten six outs before. He was that close. I would have stuck with Britton there. Obviously hindsight's 20/20, but I didn't like the move. And obviously, two run double for Luplo to center, and it's a tie game in the seventh.
It was anyone but Lasagna. Literally anybody. I would have been fine putting freaking J.A. Happ out there for an inning, because that's what the Red Sox did to us in 2018. They put Chris Sale out, and elimination game for the eighth inning, goes down 1-2-3. Sure, if there are two runners on, I don't care. I'd rather have a guy with experience who's pitched decently well of late in J.A. Happ to give me three outs. I don't want Lasagna in that game. It was so stupid. You know, Boone's bullpen management once again questions me. I don't know why he didn't want to go stretch anyone else out. I mean, sure, he stretched Chapman out for two innings, but Britton, Green, they could have each gone two innings. Questionable, you know, that lucky that ball didn't get out. But tie game, you think, oh God, here we go. We're going to have to put Chapman in or someone. They're going to have to eat up innings, and the whole, you know, formula is just totally going to go to waste. But not like the Indians bullpen was much better, because they were beat up as well, given the fact that they had to eat up innings in game one.
Well, when Cleveland tied that game, I don't know about you, but I was just so demoralized. And then the lows just kept getting lower. Clint had a great opportunity to come up clutch with a base hit, struck out on three pitches, and that'll bring us to the bottom of the eighth. Lasagna lets the first two guys on. I think they were both on walks, right? Both on walks.
And yeah, then, I think so. Yeah, he couldn't find the zone.
Yeah, Hernandez with the single to left, looping liner, gets down. Now it's 9-8, and there's runners on first and second. Chapman came in, and he gave up the base hit, but we're going to be singing praises for Chapman. He gave up the base hit, but and to this point, I took off my jersey, I took off my hat, I threw my hat at the wall, and I sat in my bed, and I didn't watch the rest of the bottom of the eighth. And then I got the update on my phone that apparently Chapman got a strikeout, and Gio Urshela made a fantastic play.
Boy, I mean, another Chapman, just, oh, my God, just that was so stressful. The fact that we were down one, I was like, all right, this team's done. And I said in the Bruce chat, I said, if they lose this series, Boone should be fired because there's no way you should be able to blow this game, especially that the Indians had all the momentum with the rain delay. The Yankees got back in it, got into that bullpen, got their best pitcher in the game in the fourth inning, hit a grand slam with Gio Urshela, the guy you least think would come up clutch with a home run given what he's done in the past with the Indians, and the fact that just giving up that single on the very first pitch on an inside pitch, which wasn't all that bad, a blooper, and then Gardner doesn't have an arm in left field. They score, and I was like, this team's done. There's no way they score in the ninth, and we got really lucky. Gio Urshela.
What a fantastic play. What just unbelievable play. Like, and I know we say that – Yankees fans say that about Gio all the time. He legitimately saved the game with that play. And that's literally true. He saved the game with that play. His beautiful turn on the double play.
Fantastic to get. I'm pretty sure that was Lindor who grounded in the double.
No, play? That wasn't Lindor. Lindor.
Santana. It was Santana. That's my apologies.
Yeah, it's Carlos Santana, who was quiet. All right. Hit Reyes both.
Yeah, and just unbelievable job from. And I was like, okay, we can actually get these guys in the ninth. It was Brad Hand who's in, who we've had success against in the past.
Actually, when Brad Hand came in, I was like, this guy, he was 16 for 16. So yeah, let's just go to the ninth here. Leadoff guy, who led off that inning?
Stanton with a walk.
Stanton with a walk. Huge walk. Great approach. Gio fished out a pitch in the dirt for a single. It just continues to be unbelievable for the Yankees. And Gleyber Torres with the chopper, Brad Hand with the error. Bases loaded, no one out. So I'm feeling confident now. Brett Gardner works the count to 3-2. It was 3-1 at one point. I was like, just work a walk. Turn the lineup over. Bases loaded, no one out. We're going to get a big inning here. And he strikes out on a good fastball. But that brings up Gary Sanchez with one out. And I'm thinking, of course, like, up, ground ball to short, inning over, the Yankees lose, game three, demoralizing, terrible, sad loss. And with a great approach, I think it was an O. Was it a two-strike pitch? Or was it a one-strike pitch?
I think it was one-strike.
Was it 1-1?
Could have been.
I think that sounds about right. 1-1 pitch, liner to center, gets the job done. Talkman scores 9-9. Two outs, runners on first and second. Great approach by Gary, not trying to do too much. Knew he had to lift the ball. It's exactly what he did. He hit it hard. If it was a gapper, would have been three runs. But unfortunately, hit it right to center. But it did the job. DeShields was there. Didn't come up throwing. And Yankees have tied the game again in the ninth.
This was really weird in the ninth because Boone did some weird stuff, bringing, you know, obviously had Tyler Wade pinch hit for Luke Voit. Why do you take Luke Voit out of a baseball game?
I think it was a pinch running situation, but regardless, I disagree. I disagree with the call by Aaron Boone. That was too early in the game and not a big enough lead. It was very odd. And the fashion he did it in, and with one out already and in the middle of an at bat, very weird. And we all know Luke Voit's been playing through an injury, but still very odd because it just brought up some weird scenarios later in the game that didn't need to happen, but Boone kind of forced himself into it.
Yeah, obviously they pinch run for Voit with Wade, and then they pinch hit with Frazier, which means they had to slide LeMahieu over to first, but then they brought Talkman in.
Went back to second. It was just such a weird mess. It really was.
Micromanaging a very small scenario when all you wanted to do is just get someone with speed other than Stanton on first base, because Talkman was the one that did score that tying run to make it 9-9. And then DJ LeMahieu, my lord and savior.
0-2 pitch. And it was almost like it was a ground ball right up the middle. It bounced five times and it got through the infield. And I'm screaming, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, because they have the lead and I can't believe it.
And this was unbelievable. At this point, it was a ridiculous hour. I should not have been awake. And I'm like,
one in the morning.
It was one in the morning. I was like, just please God end this game. Just somehow. I don't really care either way. And I'm like, please, I don't want to see a walk off. I don't want to go to 10 innings. And LeMahieu, what a greedy 0-2 pitch there. Really just a pitch, an off-speed pitch, right in the heart of the zone. And LeMahieu just does what he does best. That was Cal Quantrill in the very end that was actually Brad Hand who actually gave up that run. And just unbelievable, man. Just crazy stuff.
He just continues to get big hits, and it's just awesome to watch. And the Yankees better hand him a blank check right when the season ends, regardless of whether we win it all or not. Because he, guys like him, guys like Urshela, these are the guys you want in the lineup. Even I'll throw Gleyber Torres in there that just get on base, give you good at-bats, make contact. That's how you win baseball games, and that's how they won on Wednesday night. And so now it's 10-9. Aroldis Chapman gets the first two outs with ease. Gleyber makes a nice play at short. He got a strikeout on Reyes prior to that. And now I think did Oscar Mercado make the last out, or did he strike out on the pass ball?
I think they pinched for the last guy. Let me scroll down.
Oh, yeah. Austin Mercado was the guy on the pass ball. Austin Hedges made the last out.
Yep.
When that happened, I was like, I said to myself, like, Chapman's going to throw a split. Chapman's going to throw a split finger. Gary better get down and block this and throw it to Ford, and that'll be it. And, of course, he does his little finesse, turn over his hand, and it gets by. And now the winning run is up. And I'm losing my mind because I'm like, Gary, you've done such a good job tonight, and you're going to mess it up, and you're going to make this your narrative again. And it was just so demoralizing when that happened.
The whole Gary with the one knee thing, I just don't get why they try and work his defense so much. It's lost cause. Just accept it. Would you rather have a guy who can't frame two pitches or a guy who can't block in an important scenario? And I'd much rather have a guy who can't frame a pitch, because all you got to do is just throw a strike. I don't care about an outside corner stealing a strike against a stupid umpire. It's just unbelievable with the new catching coach putting him on one knee because he's, you know, just framing is below average. But, man, I was like, oh, my God, they're actually going to lose this game because Gary Sanchez doesn't know how to block a pitch. All you got to do is just turn your glove over and just literally just leave it like this on a backhand. But he goes for the whole move his body over, his little fat ass doesn't do jack.
Of course, I was being pessimistic. Like, how could you not in that scenario with the way this game is going? But thank God Austin Hedges comes up, batting like 130 on the year, and Aroldis Chapman blows by a fastball at 101 at his head. Ball game over, Yankees win. American League Wild Card Series over, Yankees win. Going back to the ALDS, and just the relief that I felt when that ball was caught by Gary, and you just see like the classic awkward celebration after winning like a lower round series, and huge, huge win to get it done on Wednesday. Huge win.
That was so, so big. I mean, it boosts the confidence for the whole team. You don't have to worry about Hap. You don't have to worry about Davies starting, you know, and that postseason debut in a game three scenario. You don't have to worry about the bullpen, which was gas. So big. I don't know how either of those teams would have won game three with the bullpen scenarios. But we did the job. You know, even though how pessimistic we were in the last episode, the Yankees on paper should have won this matchup no matter how many games it was. They had the better pitching, but they didn't have a lineup. They had, you know, one guy, Jose Ramirez. And we shut down Lindor for the majority of that series. You know, Franmil Reyes was a nobody, and the only guy was Josh Naylor, who got pinch hit for in game two, which really shows the confidence that the Indians had in their lineup, really lackluster. So
it's really just comes down to the fact that the Yankees did their jobs. They did their jobs. They did what they were supposed to do, and that's why they won the series. They did what we expected of them coming out of camp, coming out of spring training, coming out of wherever. And the Yankees left us on a sour note at the end of the season, and we forgot how good this team can be. And it comes down to, like I said, as we get into the Rays series now, can you play four good weeks of baseball against four different teams? They played one good week of baseball in 2 days against a really good pitching staff. So hopefully they can put that up again. So let's get into the Rays series. Huge, huge matchup. Big rivalry. Game one, Gerrit Cole versus Blake Snell. What are your initial thoughts on that pitching matchup?
Boy, what a great pitching matchup again. I mean, it didn't really matter who the Rays would throw out in game one. It's just, you know, whoever I don't want to see twice. And honestly, seeing Blake Snell is fine. He pitched decently well against the Yankees. Pretty sure he had two starts. One of them, he's on a pitch limit. And the other one, I'm pretty sure he pitched five innings of quality baseball. But, I mean, hey, the Yankees beat him last. That's just because he's a lefty and the Yankees are all right-handed hitters. But, you know, I'm fine seeing him twice. Another must-win game, I will say that. Another, they have to win this baseball game somehow. I don't care how badly the Braves have beaten up Gerrit Cole this year. You need to win this game because there is no way I trust beating both Charlie Morton and Tyler Glass, not given how well both of them have pitched. It's the same scenario.
Yeah, you got to win one of the first two. It'd be great to win game one. I liked Cole over Bieber by a little bit. I like Cole over Snell by a little bit too. Gerrit Cole shoves in the playoffs so far, if we're going with the trends. He did that again. There are some Yankees, and here's an interesting point. Obviously, we know the Higashioka storyline where it's his personal catcher. Gary Sanchez owns Blake Snell the way he owns David Price. He has 5 home runs off of him in 16 at-bats. So that makes me think a little bit. Like, I know that Higashioka is starting, and I know they're not going to change that. But I don't know. I think Gary plays a role in this game at some point if it's close. So
do you DH Sanchez and give Stanton the day off?
You cannot bench Giancarlo Stanton, right?
That's the thing.
You cannot bench. They won't even bench him when he's cold. So you cannot bench him. I don't think you can bench Gardner. I think Clint will get the start over Brett Gardner tomorrow.
Lefty, yep.
But I still think Gardner will have a role in the series. So that's game one. We don't know the Yankees starters yet for games 2 through 5. But we know it's going to be Glasnow, Morton, bullpen game, and then probably Snell again if the series goes the distance, if we're being honest. You think they would push Snell on 3 days rest? I think they would.
I don't know. They definitely – they're starting game 5.
I mean, one thing that I have confidence, again, similar to the Cleveland series, is that Gerrit Cole, Masahiro Tanaka, these are two guys. I like them. I like that 1-2 against just about anyone in the playoffs because of their experience, because they've been there, because they've performed at the highest levels. And for that reason, I feel confident against just about anyone. But I think if this series goes the distance, Gerrit Cole is absolutely pitching game 5 on 3 days rest. But it's just games 3 and 4 that the Yankees are now going to have to like put some puzzle pieces together, which is just a shame because – I would assume they go Hap 3, Garcia 4, but like I don't know if those are two guys that I eternally trust against the Rays in a playoff series.
It all depends on what kind of bullpen the Yankees have. You know, if the Yankees are going to win a game, you better beat them. And if the same goes if you lose a game, because I do not want to have the big boys pitch for 2 games in a row, and no matter you win one, you lose one. You need to have the guys ready because game 4 is probably going to be a bullpen game for at least one of these teams, if not both. No matter the series score, I just think that Davey Garcia starting a playoff game, he's pitched decently well.
Him and Hap will both have very short leashes, I think. I think
they'll piggyback off each other.
Unfortunately, I think that Johnny Lasagna is going to have to play a big role in the series. Jonathan Holder, Jordan Montgomery. And let's talk about Adam Ottavino for a second, who it seems like Aaron Boone has lost complete trust in. Like, listen, he had a down year, but ultimately you're paying this guy a lot to be a big arm at the back end of your bullpen, and he didn't even have an appearance. He didn't even warm up in game two in Cleveland. So he's going to pitch. That is set in stone. He's going to pitch. I don't know what the leverage situation will be. I don't know when it'll be. I don't know what inning. I don't know against two. I don't know what his role is going to be. But that guy needs to get right, and he needs to pitch well. And while we're going along with that, so does Britton. So does Chapman. So does Green. They all need to show up because we don't have Tommy Canley, that extra arm, that fifth guy that you could really trust. So right now there's only 3 that I'm like locked and loaded. Like even Britton I'm iffy on because of his performance in game 2. But the Yankees bullpen needs to come up big because we know the Rays have a good bullpen, and we know that Kevin Cash isn't afraid to get weird. And that whole pen, like a stable of guys throwing 98, like I think that's stupid. Like, shut up. Like, you're the Rays. Shut up. Even if they beat us, like I'll admit, I really don't like the Rays. I hate the Rays. The Rays have really been pissing me off the last few years. But On paper, once again, this is another series where on paper, we said this at the beginning of the Cleveland, regardless of our confidence or not, we're still the Yankees, and we still have the best team in the American League on paper. And if those guys show up off their based off their stats, then we'll be fine. But that's what it's going to come down to. It's all a mental thing, because you go 2-8 against a team in the regular season, and that tells the story. But, like, this is their chance to flip the script.
100%. And no matter who pitches, Kevin Cash, you know, he ran a lineup with 9 guys who are lefties in a game this year. That's unbelievable to think about. And whoever it is, Adam Ottavino, who Aaron Boone has used exclusively as a right-handed get-him-out guy, who essentially now with a 3-batter minimum, which is still so stupid. One of these guys, and it's probably going to be Ottavino, that's going to have to pitch against the lefties. 2 out of 3 guys probably going to have to face who are lefties, unless they bring them in the middle of an inning to get 2 outs and not have to worry about that stupid rule. And someone's going to have to step up and pitch more than they want to out of their comfort zone because it's no off day, which is, I think it's ridiculous.
That's the thing, that this year is more of a test for, like, the full roster as opposed to just your elite guys because of the fact that there's no off days. And it's going to be interesting. The Rays are one of those teams where it really seems like – I don't know what their injury situation is right now. It really seems like they have 30, 40 guys on their roster instead of 28. Like, I don't know. I just feel like they're pulling guys out of a rabbit hole and they're hitting like 270 with a 400 batting, like you know what I mean? Like, it just feels like they have, like, those random guys that, like, we don't know much about, and because that we get flustered, and they have a chip on their shoulder. I think the Yankees do too. Like, the Yankees have heard nothing but the Rays bad mouthing them all year long. They lost the American League East, but the Yankees can erase all 10 of those games from the regular season if they can just pick up this series win.
Yeah, this is the biggest series for not only just this, the fact that the Yankees really need to win this because their expectations are so high every year, but they need to beat the Rays and show them that this year the 60-game crap was just, you know, just 2020 being itself, and that the Rays are really not that much better, if any better, than the Yankees. And, mm-hmm. you know, guys like Randy Arozarena who come out of nowhere and suddenly just
take
tank shots against the Yankees, some of the Yankees' best starters, hitting 2 in that one game, and that finish off that sweep, a.k.a. the low point of the year. Just the Yankees pitchers, bullpen, arms especially, need to step up, and we need to win games. Win games big so we don't burn these guys.
Uh-huh.
4 out of 5 games.
Regardless of how good the Rays are, if we lose to them, that's embarrassing. You can't lose to a team that's sucked for a greater portion of their existence, that gets paid the equivalent to Gerrit Cole's salary. You just can't lose this series regardless of how the team is. This is the Yankees standing up for their pride right now. This is also the best team in the American League that's left other than us, I believe. Now, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I look at the other side and I see Oakland and Houston, and I think to myself, I'm way more confident against them than I am against the Rays. And maybe that's just me, like, screwing with my own mind, thinking, like, well, we sucked against them in the regular season, so of course we're going to suck against them now. But, like, I can't help but feel that way, that, like, this is the biggest series of the playoffs other than the World Series.
Yeah, and it's the same we said last year. If we could beat the Astros, we could have beaten the Dodgers or anyone on the National League side. And I think the same goes this year. I mean, the Rays are by far the best team in the American League. They're certainly should be the World Series favorites in the American League, at least. The Dodgers are probably still favored to win it all. But the Athletics and the Astros, I mean, let's get past the Rays because then I'd be really excited. But they're two teams you can't overlook. I mean, the Astros.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can't overlook those guys, but I think it's fair to say that I like the matchup better with them significantly more than I like with the Rays. Like, I don't dislike our matchup with the Rays. I think we're a better team than the Rays on any given day, but it's going to come down to the mental game again. With Cleveland, it came down to the mental game, and they showed up. Once again, this is going to happen. Obviously, Shane Bieber had a better year than Blake Snell. Blake Snell was pretty good. He's always pretty good. He's won Cy Young, but you know, it's put up or shut up time now. Like, this is what you wanted. You wanted the Rays. I wanted the Rays. I want to be the team that beats the Rays. And this is your opportunity now. And let's just get into our closing thoughts here because we got to wrap it up. I don't know who I want to predict to win the series. I know I said I thought Cleveland would win. I'm just going to probably not predict it at all. But I will say this. I think that the series is going to go 5. I think that I'd be surprised if it doesn't go 5. I think that these two teams have been heading on a collision course all these past 2.5 months. And it comes down to, are the Yankees ready for this? Are they equal to the task? And they got to put up those same good at bats that they did against guys in Cleveland. They've got to be prepared, and hopefully that their bullpen is good enough to win them close games, because it wasn't on Tuesday, but on Wednesday, but the offensive talent bailed them out. So that's what it's going to come down to in the series. And now you flat.
I mean, we said the same thing with the Yankees and the Astros last year in the LCS. We'd be surprised if it didn't go seven, and it didn't in the wrong way. So I think the same goes here, especially in a shorter series. I'd be surprised if it doesn't go five. I think it will go five. Aaron Boone needs – you can't make zero mistakes. He is literally
– he has to be perfect.
Is zero. He cannot make one singular mistake with that bullpen, with a pinch-hitting scenario, because you know the pinch-hitting is going to be big on both sides, given that the Braves, all they do is just look at the matchups. They'll bring out a worse hitter, but if it's a better matchup, they'll go for it, and they'll probably work to perfection. Prediction here, I mean, once again, the Yankees, for the second year in a row, had a cruddy end to the regular season, showed out in the first series, and gave me confidence that they can beat the team. I didn't have much confidence at the end of last year that they would beat the Astros in the LCS, and I didn't have much confidence this year that they would beat the Rays in the LDS. Now they give me confidence. I'm going with the Yankees here. I went with the Indians. I'll go with the Yankees in five. It's going to be gritty, but someone's going to have to show up once again that didn't show up. Let's not forget, the Yankees lineups in the games that we played the Rays, I mean, Jordy Mercer was starting at shortstop. Jordy Mercer was starting some of these games at shortstop. Mike Ford hit third. Clint Frazier hit fourth. The lineups are ridiculous. This is not the same team. Everyone knows that. But give me the Yankees in five.
And I want to say one thing, and I know we sucked against them at Yankee Stadium this year too. Thank God we don't have to play any games at Tropicana Field, because that place has been a hell house for the Yankees these past few years. So, Anthony, do you want to give a prediction real quick on the series?
Honestly, so here's the thing. I feel like that you guys made some really good points. I think that this one is going to be Yankees in five. I said that the Indians are going to win in three last time, but I have a feeling that it's going to be a very close one. I think that this is going to be a very frustrating series for both of you guys as Yankees fans. And I say that just because I feel like these are winnable games for the Yankees. I feel like if the Yankees are completely healthy and are able to actually perform at their top peak, whatever, they could win this in three. That this is an easy series for them, I think, but I feel like it's not going like it could be an easy series for them, but it's not
on paper. It should be a Yankees win, and exactly. You know what, screw it, because both you guys said it, I'll go Yankees in five.
Yeah, because like, look, and honestly, a big part of that is also I really, really want to see the Yankees and the Astros next round. I feel like that would be really
interesting. Dude, let's not, I don't even want to think about that yet, but I won't lie, after that first round series, it's in the back of my head.
Of course, but yeah, I'm gonna say Yankees in five. I am hoping that we're able to get another episode of our talks and stuff like that about the series. So just in general, I'm going to say I hope for Yankees in five.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that'll wrap it up for today's episode. Only Yankees. If you wanted to hear us whine and mope about the Giants and Jets, you're going to have to wait for a little wait later in the week, because it's playoff time and this is what we got to focus on, because when both the football teams suck, they're just going to have to take a back seat for now.
They don't
deserve the spotlight, but let's plug our socials real quick. I'm Kyle Keegan on Instagram and Twitter, but the L is a one. So that's Kaiwan E Keegan. Follow the blog the media account at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. And Anthony, you go.
I am Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV 7 on Twitter. What about you, Platt?
@Platter_ on Instagram and AustinPlatter15 on Twitter.
All right. Well, that just about wraps up this episode. Thank you to all those who are listening right now. We'll see you guys next time. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys.